This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com. The gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
You know, I enjoyed the session we had with Jason Leaves last week. He's trying to do something that isn't done as often as it should be, which is to use his digital tools to analyze UFO photos. And that in and of itself is commendable. Minor question, though. That is, I went to this site from Peter Maxwell Slattery. He's analyzed his photos. Were you impressed by those photos, Randall?
Well, you know, the thing about photos out there on the web and on the internet of what people might think are UFOs, some sort of an alien craft, is that there sure is no shortage of them. So the thing is how do you tell ones that are truly of something unknown from something that is just a misinterpretation or an outright fake? And I think that Jason is at least able to determine within a certain range that the object itself is either something physically real as opposed to being inserted digitally, or is something that is obviously a fake. Beyond that, I'm not sure that he's making any claims himself that any of these craft or pictures of craft are of actual craft. And, you know, I have yet to see a really good picture of a solid picture of a UFO that we know isn't fake. Like Slattery himself, if you watch the interview, he's an interesting character to interview, but, you know, it's another story from another person. We don't have sufficient, I would say, evidence to say that what we're really looking at are genuine alien craft.
Let me just point out one thing here. I'm looking at the photo entitled Strange Shape UFO Captured by Peter Maxwell Slattery. It looks like a vertical finned version of the George Adamski spacecraft, if you know what I'm talking about.
Right.
And it may be something there, an object. I can't see how anyone would assume that's something weird. Something was inserted there. That's not something that just suddenly appeared in the sky. And the same thing is true with the first one, which is the more circular craft. That, to me, when you look at something that looks almost like lettering, they're adapting the Starship Enterprise without the extra appendages. That's just me.
Oh, you may very well be right. That's the problem when it comes to photos. There's so many of them that we have to just look at what we've got in ufology and go, okay, well, this is what somebody's done. They've done their best to try to determine whether or not it's an actual object or something else. But I don't think that anyone yet can say that they've actually got sufficient evidence that can match an image in a photo that they claim was something weird to something that's actually physically, materially real. That's the problem. The phenomena leaves us with all of these blurry images and vague impressions off in the distance, and yet people still have in their own experience something that is very real to them. So there's a disconnect there. There's always this evidentiary disconnect.
This is one of the reasons why a skeptic, for example, will say, look, if you have real physical objects, why aren't there real physical photos? You just have lights in the sky, blurry things, and more to the point, when you do see a distinct object, more likely than not, it's a fake. And that's very unfortunate.
Or a misinterpretation, you know, something else that, well, yeah, it's a real object, and, you know, it's a balloon or a blimp or something like that, shaped in a cylindrical shape, or even some of them that are shaped like UFOs now. They've made these big silvery ones, and someone took a picture of one. It was a big silvery saucer-shaped type thing, and for a while people thought that was an actual UFO, but it was amusement balloons. So, you know, it adds to the noise, but at least somebody's trying to sort it out and making an effort. And he seems sincere enough about it and serious enough about it and level-headed enough about it during the interview that it's probably worth taking a look if you're into ufology just for the sake of, oh, well, here's some work that someone's done who's trying to do something constructive. Apart from that, I'm not sure we've got any real revelations there.
Well, one thing the UFOs do is give us a glimpse at the possible future. And that kind of leads us to our guest, Christian Kroma. And his title is Visionary Thinker, Futurist Keynote Speaker and Author. And I'm looking at this thing here, and he's looking at disruptive technologies. And Christian, welcome to the show. What interests me is we look at a UFO, real or not, and we're looking at something that might represent an image of what we expect in the future. But when I think about the influence of developments, you know, I go back to the 1950s, and you're a young whippersnapper from that photo. So you appreciate this. To make a long-distance call, we had to ask the operator to do it at $2 a minute. This is back in the 1950s. Cell phones? Ooh. I mean, when you had the communicator, the Star Trek communicator in the 60s, that was amazing. The tricorder, amazing. And we've grown up and gotten older through this stuff. And you have to think, what has that done to us? Christian, what's your perception where we've gone so far? What has this future that we may not have been aware of 50 years ago, what's it done to us?
It's a difficult question. It did a lot of things for us. I think technology is like a mirror. It reflects our inner world. And the smarter and more powerful technology is, the more we will see our own inner world. And we have to develop that inner world to survive with each other. So that's basically how I look towards technology. And we adapt very easily. So technology has evolved exponentially fast and will continue in that way. But we adapt to it and we see it as normal. The kids that grow up today have a smartphone, have tablets, have speech recognition, all these advanced technologies. 10 years ago, we couldn't even dream about it. So I think every new generation adapts with it and sees it as a normal thing. And I think it will happen and continue in the future. So for the new generations, it will be normal, and for the old generations, it will be fancy stuff. And it will continue in that way. So, I think we are going in the right direction with that.
Do you think it takes away anyone's individuality that we're all connected to Facebook, where most of us... We all have these little gadgets in our hands, and maybe instead of talking to people, we're looking at the gadget in our hands. Even when they cross the street, you're looking at the gadget in your hand. Does that take away personal communication, real personal communication, one-on-one?
Yeah, I believe so. I think at this moment in time, we are in the dark ages of technology. We are in the hands of the Facebooks and the big companies, the big corporates in the world, which hire the smartest persons in the world to make us addicted to the smartphone, to all kind of apps. And what you see happening everywhere on stations, on public areas, is that people only have attention for their own information feed, for their own phone or the smart device. And we don't talk anymore with other people. So I think, especially in the younger generations, they're all glued to their smartphone. I think that's not a good development. But I think it's a side effect of where the industry and where technology is right now. We have wonderful technology with many opportunities, but it is misused by smart, big companies that want to make as much profit as possible. And as long as we have this kind of organizations who are ruling the technology or developing the technology, we will see this effect. But I believe that in the next 10 years, we will see a change, that we will go more towards crowds or flock of bird-like organizations where individuals are also the owner. And these organizations will have different incentives and will use technology more purposeful. So I think that in that way, we were moving away from the dark age of technology, but we're still in it right now. So a long way ahead of us.
Christian Kroma, futurist,
This is something that I think dovetails very well into what we're interested in here in the PowerCast. With Gene and Randall, you're in
the PowerCast.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive PowerCast things that you can buy. We've got, like, I guess 60 or so different items, and entails T-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the PowerCast jumbo tote bag, all sorts of T-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a PowerCast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.thepowercast.com, store.thepowercast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great T-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the PowerCast. You go to store.thepowercast.com, stop by, and take a shopping tour.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $10,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-976-1460. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-976-1460. That's 1-800-976-1460. 1-800-976-1460.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live-underground gopher. You need Survivalist Camps, the ultimate fully functional, off-the-grid mobile survival bug-out house that's well-equipped and custom-built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement? You bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.
Hey, Bugsy, you hear the news about Vinny?
Yeah, it's a real shame. He owed money to the IRS and they finally caught up with him.
Just like Al Capone.
If the IRS can get the Capone, imagine what they can do to little old Vinny, huh?
Poor cat, he was on top of the world. That bada boom, bada bing.
What Vinny needs now is an offer he can't refuse.
Hey, you got a tax problem? Does the IRS claim you owe them a bunch of dough? They can get you, too. So call the Tax Relief Line now and learn if you qualify to negotiate your $10,000-plus IRS tax debt for up to a 75% savings. Don't be like Al or Vinny and get busted. Make this free call now. Learn how you may be able to pay the IRS less.
Call now. 800-590-4930. 800-590-4930, 800-590-4930, that's 800-590-4930.
Do you feel like many of us? All the distractions in the world taking our minds and focus off what really needs to get done day to day? Well, Jeunesse has a dietary supplement called Mind to help with mental distraction, and it supports memory function. Go to GCNLife.com now to check it out. You're only at your best when your mind is at its best. Go to GCNLife.com or call toll free 844-443-6637. That's GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the PowerCast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous PowerCast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Futurist Christian Kroma joins us, and he refers to it now as the Dark Ages of Technology. But, Christian, the thing I wonder about here, and this is a larger issue, doesn't that give large corporations, people who don't care so much about our best interest, the opportunity to be more controlling of our lives.
Yeah, yeah. I think if you look at the old paradigm, the old powerhouses in the world, governments and corporations around and beneath those governments, they want to have control over their citizens. And I think technology is the perfect tool to do that. Technology also has the opportunity to do much more, to do purposeful work, to change the world for the better. And it's not happening in large scales or large amounts at this moment. So it's many big corporations use it to suppress people, to control them, to do some kind of big brother-like surveillance stuff. And that's the downside of technology, especially with things like artificial intelligence. You can do surveillance on 1 million people with one computer. It wasn't possible before. So I think in that case, technology is as good as the intentions that people who have it or developed it. So as long as we are ruled by organizations which have wrong intentions and want to suppress people, control people, we will see this kind of technology go forward. But I think in the next 10 years already, we will see a big change towards more consumer-driven technology. So I think that's a good thing.
The question I would have here is, how do consumers regain control? Now, I'll show you about the technology, how we're really immersed in it. The electric company we use here in this area of Arizona is called SRP, Salt River Project. And when you call them for support, you get someone on the line, a rather friendly voice assistant, and she says, "My name is Rosie. I can understand complete sentences." And she's sort of kind of right. But have we reached the point here where I want to talk to a support representative and I'll get Siri or Rosie instead of a real person?
Yeah, but you see that a lot happening in with different companies. They want to make more profits, so they use technology to do conversation with the customers. But the technology is not yet ready. I think AI is making big steps right now with speech recognition and pronouncing words and understanding words and making sentences, understanding your question. But I think we are 5 or 10 years ahead of towards a time where technology is human-like in understanding speech, etc. So I think in that way, these agents will come up and they will disappear again until the technology is ready. We've seen it before, chatbots, voice dial systems. People want real persons on the phone. And for all other things, you can use a chatbot. But until the technology is good enough, we will use the old human-to-human interface, I think.
Of course, the ultimate nightmare here is the machines become so sophisticated, they take control. And you see that a lot in sci-fi, Terminator, for example. You see that in Day the Earth Stood Still, where the advanced civilization from which Klaatu comes is in 1951. They put all their law enforcement in the hands of a robot. In this case, Gort looks like a classic robot, but that's the same thing. Instead of having a human police officer, the police officer is a RoboCop.
Yeah, I think I'm not that afraid that AI or smart technology will take over power. What I mostly do, I predict where technology is going based on biology. I've made some discoveries how technology have correlations and parallels with how biology behaves. And if you look at the AI in the cloud in our body, that's our brain. Our neocortex brain. It's not there to destroy the rest of the cells in your body. It's making the life of the rest of the cells better and less stressful. And I think that AI in the cloud will do basically the same. Of course, you can use it to suppress people, to do big brother-like surveillance technologies. But in the end, I think AI will be used for the good by the masses. And when that will happen, then we will see that we have a strong opposition towards the old elite, which is controlling many of the people in the world, I think, right now. Yeah, I think that will happen already in 10, 15 years from now. It's going exponentially fast. And at first, technology is used by rich corporations, then they open source their technology, and then individuals, consumers, start to develop with those open source libraries and can make their own software. And then you see some kind of tipping point where the power is shifting from the big corporations toward the small individuals. And I think that will happen in the near future. And I think that's a good thing, that we will have, we'll retake power or regain power again.
Let me ask you here, because one of the subjects you deal with is the possible influence of autonomous cars. And right now, here, right near where I live, Tempe, Arizona, we have a company called Waymo, owned by Google, experimenting with autonomous vehicles, and it's still been shaky. We know that Uber tried and had some failures. Tesla's trying with their technology. What is the long-range impact of autonomous driving, other than, you know, dealing with people who really can't drive or shouldn't drive?
On the long term, I think we are not yet there. Tesla and Elon Musk is telling us that next year we will drive fully autonomous, but I think it will take another 5 or 10 years when people get used to it, when these cars can communicate with their environment just like humans do. So I think the long-term impact will be that mobility will just like tap water. It will be there if you need it, and it will be very cheap. It will be a commodity, and that will change mobility for everyone and logistics also. So if you're an elderly person or you're sick or you're not able to drive yourself, you can press on a button in the app and there will be some kind of device or mobility device in front of you within X or Y minutes, and it will bring you from A to B. And I think that the same will be there for parcels or packages. So if you want to drop a package, you push the button, and there will be some kind of device, a drone or autonomous vehicle, that will pick up your package or parcel, and you can send it the other way to the other side of the country. So I think it will be just like Netflix or Spotify, all you can, yeah, all mobility that you can get for a small amount of money per month. So I think that's where it's going. So it will enable people, all kinds of people, to move really fast and really relaxed. And I think that's not possible right now. People have to go by public transport, which is most of the time, at least in the Netherlands, it takes you 3 or 4 times the time compared to a car. So I think that, yeah, everyone will have access to smart and fast mobility for a very low price.
Now, the question, of course, here is the impact. When you have automated systems, how does that impact people who do the manual labor? So you have people who are currently driving for Uber or Lyft. I say more them than the traditional cab, which they are very largely supplanting. Now, ultimately, those jobs, this gig economy, at least insofar as ride sharing, that's got a finite future. Because with Uber and Lyft, as soon as we have perfected autonomous driving, they will offer that as an option. Do you want to have a live driver, or would you pay this monthly fee, whatever it is, and you'll have the automated driver? You don't have to worry about the automated driver missing your route. You don't have to worry about the automated driver being rude, although you missed the conversation when the driver is really nice. We got more to come. We're going to get into more of the impact of the future. Christian Kroma with Gene and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. danpilla.com.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
The police chief of El Paso, Texas, talking about a mass shooting at a Walmart.
The situation, needless to say, is a horrific one.
The governor says at least 20 people have been killed and 26 are injured. The suspect is in custody. A massive response was sent to the busy mall area. The Walmart shares a large parking lot with the Cielo Vista Mall, which has more than 140 stores. Back-to-school shoppers ran for cover as word of the shooting spread quickly. presidential candidate and El Paso native Beto O'Rourke was choked up as he spoke, saying he's canceling events and heading home.
I'm incredibly saddened, and it is very hard to think about this. but I'll tell you, El Paso is the strongest place in the world.
This is USA Radio News.
Got an old car? You can donate it, whether it's running or not, to the United Breast Cancer Foundation and save a life. They'll even come and pick it up for free. The United Breast Cancer Foundation has saved hundreds of women's lives through their free or low-cost breast screen exams. But now they need your help. The United Breast Cancer Foundation wants to save more lives through early detection by offering women free or low-cost breast screening exams. And donating your old car, SUV, or truck, whether it's running or not, helps pay for them. Plus, you get a charitable tax deduction. Help the United Breast Cancer Foundation save lives by donating your old car, SUV, or truck. Call now for free pickup. 800-280-2144. 800-280-2144. 800-280-2144. Call right now. That number again is 800-280-2144.
Hi, Peter Vaccaro for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up for free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, mysteries, ghosts, UFOs, and the afterlife, and so much more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people seeking a viable alternative to the other dating services. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and want to connect with people, use the code GEORGE for a substantial discount. Mark Rawlings, president of ParanormalDate.com, says so many people hunger to share their experiences about the paranormal, the unexplainable, or the afterlife, and so much more, and this is the source for them to meet and share that common interest. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com, ParanormalDate.com, and use the code GEORGE if you decide to connect with someone you like.
This is Jacques Vallée. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So I'm kind of being negative. I want to be the negative person here, Christian and Chroma. But you see what I'm talking about here. We see the good things about autonomous driving. I'm not a young person, there's a time where I may have to hand in my driver's license, but I still need to get around, and being able to have access to a vehicle that can drive me wherever I want to go is going to be a big advantage. But people who depend, the people doing the manual labor, just as they are replaced in factories, how does that impact people and how do we get past it?
Yeah, I think like in the past, in the early days, the telephone was operated manually. The elevator was operated manually. All these things we take for granted right now were operated in a manual way. And all those jobs have been automated. And I think the same will happen in mobility and logistics. Unfortunately for the people who make a living out of it right now. But I think it will happen, and it will happen very soon. But I think there will be different kind of jobs coming back for it. Today, people are earning money with playing games or making a YouTube channel or creating podcasts. So I think the jobs of the future, we cannot even imagine what the jobs will be in 10 years from now. It will be completely different from the current jobs. But I believe that those jobs will be more human worthy. And I think driving in a truck or in a taxi all day is, I think, not the most exciting job. For some people it does, but I think if you do it all your life, it's not human worthy. And I think it's going more into the creative part. Yeah, more creative kind of jobs. And I think it's not a bad thing, but it will be a shock for people who are attached to those old jobs, like in factories, like in driving a cab or a truck or a bus.
Okay, there's still this double-edged aspect to it, and it's really interesting to explore those. Your book, Humanification, takes a sort of positive look at it. It recognizes that there are dangers, but if we manage it right, we should come out okay. Humanification, if I've got it right, is a trend towards the integration of technology with human users. And, well, we're all consumers, so that's where we get into the connection between corporations and the rest of society. And what we're seeing there, if I've got that right, is that there's a shift in the corporate power structure from a small board of directors at the top who control the rest of the corporation's employees to a sort of direct democracy between shareholders and customers. And that's being made possible by technology, especially computer technology and the internet. Have I got that sort of right?
Yeah, I think so. It's the one part of the story. Let me explain. My book is based on some insights or some discoveries that I did a couple of years ago. My daughter was very sick, and we went to hospital, and she got a terminal diagnosis. They couldn't help her any further. So I started to do my own research. And while doing my research, I discovered that the cells in our body, we have billions of cells in our body, which work together in harmony and coherence every day, solve all kinds of problems, that these cells have many things in common with human beings. And the biological systems in our body have a lot of common with the technological systems that we use in our society. So what we basically see is that technology has the same role as biology. And individual cells use biological systems to create organisms, and we human beings use technology to create organizations. And we go through the same phases and the same waves of disruption, and that makes it predictable where we are going. So what I see and what I describe in my book is that humanity is slowly transforming into or start to behave like one single organism, where the internet is the nerve system, where the automation revolution has created the reptile brain, where the social media revolution has created the limbic brain, the social brain, and where AI in the cloud is now creating the neocortex brain. So all these same systems are in place, and what is happening is that basically humanity is shifting from an individual consciousness towards more group consciousness. And I think a lot of the problems that we have today, our environment, all the things that we messed up in this world, are a result of individual thinking based on greed and making more profit. And I think we are connecting more and more, and technology is enabling that, and that we are moving towards a more group-like consciousness, and we start to make decisions on that level, which are much wiser, much smarter than individual decisions. That's basically what the book is about, and technology is basically pushing us to become more human. And that's where the title is coming from, humanification, the process of becoming more human. And what I told you earlier, technology is behaving like a mirror. So the faster technology it becomes and the more powerful it is, the more it reflects our inside world. So when you see people on the streets or on the station or in public areas watching their phone or glued to their phone, that's one of the flaws that we have as a human being. For us, it's more difficult to have a conversation with your neighbor than watching your smartphone. So our technology is amplifying that, and I think it will change our behavior because you already see that companies like Apple and Google are focusing on digital well-being. So they want to make you less addicted to your smartphone, all these kind of technologies. So we need to go in the dark direction to go to the light direction again. And that's happening all the time. Yeah, I'm pretty confident and pretty positive about where technology is bringing us as a society, but also as an individual. And we have now passed the tipping point, I think a couple of years ago, and now we are moving faster and faster. And I think the process of becoming like one single organism on Earth with all the humans is like inevitable. The tipping point has been a couple of years ago. We're now moving faster and faster towards, some people call it singularity, being like one single organism, but I call it a different way in my book. That's where the subject of my book is about, and it's based on biology. It's just copying how nature behaves and transport that to technology and making predictions based on that.
Well, if people tune into some of the clips on the YouTube channels out there, you've actually got a pretty interesting slideshow where you go through and illustrate some of the parallels. And so when you see how the evolution of biology is paralleled in the evolution of technology and how it moves in the various what you call waves, there's no denying that there are parallels. But the big difference, of course, is that now technology is able to evolve much quicker than biology. So where is that going to be taking us?
I don't know per se if technology is evolving faster than biology. What nature does, and this pattern is not only repeating in organisms and organizations, but also in all the building blocks of our universe. So organizations are built from organisms. Organisms are built from cells. Cells are built from molecules. Molecules are built from atoms. Atoms are built from subatomic particles. And subatomic particles are built from light, energy. So on each of those levels, you see those seven waves repeating themselves. So it's basically the building blocks of consciousness, or whatever you call it, that build the material world that we see around us. What I truly believe is that each stage on those big stairs, as you can see, is exponentially faster. So it's doubling in speed every new step. And we are now in the seventh step. And it all began with light. Light is the building block. And we are now moving again towards the virtual world, where light is basically the main carrier of information again. So I think that we are going to a closed loop. And somewhere around 2035, 2040, we will hit that point, or singularity point, whatever they call it. So I think that's where we will merge into one single system, which makes the life of individuals much better, like the lives of the cells in our body. So that's basically what I predict that will happen, but there will be many small stops before we are there.
We're trying to look here at what the future might bring, the impact, and maybe things won't be quite as bad as we might fear, as what some of the sci-fi movies and novels portray. We've got more to come. Christian Kroma is our guest, taking, an interesting direction from what we do in the Paracast, and that, with Gene and Randall, means you're in
the Paracast.
For listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First game Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Fellow Patriots, my name is Todd Savage, founder of BlackRifleRealEstate.com. Like you, I was a prisoner of the alt-left sanctuary state, until one day I chose to lead my family to freedom. Today we live on a sustainable 20-acre homestead where we shoot, hunt, garden, and homeschool our children without the tyranny of the nanny state looking over us. If you're ready to flee the city to the freedom of Idaho or Montana, our Black Rifle Real Estate team is here to help. Go to BlackRifleRealEstate.com. That's BlackRifleRealEstate.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
If you owe money to the IRS, you need to hear this. The IRS is cracking down on those who owe back taxes. It starts with a devastating letter, and if you don't act immediately, you could find yourself having your wages garnished or have a lien placed on your property. But there's a solution. Tax 10,000 can help. Avoid enforced compliance, where these holds on your income and seizure of your home could become a nightmare that just won't end. Call 800-239-9957 now and speak to one of our experts. 800-239-9957 is the number to link you directly to a tax resolution specialist who will negotiate with the IRS on your behalf. Working through the IRS Fresh Start program, all the forms will be handled for you. All you have to do is make the toll-free call. 800-239-9957. Find out if you qualify and possibly save yourself thousands of dollars, not to mention a lot of headaches. It could be the best call you've made today. That number again, 800-239-9957. The service does not provide tax settlement or legal services. We will refer you to a company that does provide such services. Often the IRS will not agree to any reduction in the amount owed. Not all taxpayers who owe more than $10,000 will qualify for a tax reduction program.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNLife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNLife.com.
Hi, it's Grant Cameron from PresidentialUFO.com. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Christian Cromer, a very optimistic gentleman. And I like your attitude that you feel that even if we're in the dark ages of technology now, ultimately it's going to self-correct. And it's not going to be like the future depicted in Terminator. It's not going to be anything like that. It's going to be more positive.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I'm pretty sure that nature is never making a mistake. It's doing things on purpose. And if you look at the previous waves on all the levels of our universe, it's repeating the pattern in a very consistent way. And that's what I try to share with people in my keynotes and my movies and my videos, is that we are exactly where we should be. So nature is taking care of it. And I think like all the, we will see Terminator-like weapons, I think. But because we are more connected as humanity, we'll be much more aggressive towards these kind of excesses. Uber was developing self-driving taxis, and there was an accident, a deadly accident, last year. And it was on every television channel in the world. So if something goes wrong, everyone is jumping on it, and we have an opinion about it. And the makers of the technologies or the developers of the technologies are redeveloping the technology so it never happened again. So I think we are going towards a time where these kind of excesses will be more dynamic. They will be more extremes. So I think there's a dangerous part of it. I'm an optimist, but I also see the dark sides of technology like AI and blockchain and these kind of things. But I think in the end, on the long term, it will help us towards a more coherent society. But on our way, we will have some bumps, just that we had in the last big industrial revolutions. And it will be more, but they will be shorter, but more impactful than previous waves.
One of the big issues with the current technology is that of privacy. Facebook is getting this $5 billion fine. They've got to fix their privacy issues, and that's a big focus. Apple Incorporated sells its products in part because of the privacy that it offers. At the same time, we have the Attorney General of the United States. I don't know if you watch the politics here. He wants the tech companies to build a back door. So if law enforcement needs to get the contents of somebody's messages because of a possible criminal prosecution, they get that back door at the risk of criminals being able to do it too. So we have this big juggling match here over privacy. But the good thing about it is people are now concerned. When Facebook was first being set up, they didn't think of it. Now they are. Is that really a promising development or just a short term?
I think it's the process of becoming more consciousness. We have to go through the dark side to want to go to the light side again. We have to have night in order to have day. I think all these developments are on purpose. So what we have today, all the big companies like the Facebook and the Googles, they know everything about you, but you don't know anything about them. So there's not a balance, not a symmetry in that privacy. So if you compare that to your private life, people who, which you have a very good relation with, they know a lot of you. So privacy is not an issue. So if there is a balance in knowing things from each other, then it's okay. So what we see is that all the big companies today, all the big tech companies, they have some kind of lock-in. So all your data is with LinkedIn, with Google or Facebook. I believe that a new internet is appearing already. It's already built by a guy which I know personally, and it's not an application-based internet where all the data is in applications, like the Googles and the Facebooks, but the internet is entity-based. So it's like atoms or molecules or human beings interacting with each other. You have separate entities. And these entities are sovereign, and they decide on their own how much data or how much information they share with other entities. And I think that's more like how nature solved privacy on a cellular level, on an atomic level, or on a molecular level. And I think that's the internet that we are going in the next 5 or 10 years already. The technology is already being built, but they see a lot of big organizations and governments want to suppress it because it means complete freedom for people and empowerment. So it's already there, but it will take some time before these new kind of technologies will break through and will release us from all the privacy issues that we have today, because the entire internet, as it is built today, is the privacy issue in its DNA. So we should go to a complete new system to solve this issue. And this is not in the interest of the Googles and the Facebooks of today. So I think it will be a big struggle, but it will happen. And it will happen, I think, in the next five or ten years already, that we will switch to a new kind of internet where privacy is in the core, in DNA of the code for the internet. And then the problem is solved. But we need to... Yeah, the old system is not cooperating right now. It will be a clash, I think, in the next decade. But when it happens, we will go to a complete new blockchain-like internet where everyone is equal and is able to share information with other entities. And that's, I think, the internet that we are should look forward to.
Well, the one thing we see about these big technology companies, there's always a finite life cycle.
Yeah.
They don't all live forever. Even Microsoft has had its problems. It failed totally in the mobile range with smartphones. It's getting into services now. Apple is moving more into services, although the hardware is very important. Obviously, if Facebook is going to have a renewed emphasis on privacy, that's good, but it also creates the room for the startup. There's still room for somebody in the garage or kitchen, I hope, to build something that ultimately supplants what we have now and takes us to another step of something or other.
Yeah, definitely. What I really think that will happen is basically the same what happened in biology. We have seen the distinguishing of all the dinosaurs, extinguishing. And I think the same will happen with dinosaur companies. In the waves that I showed on the internet in my movies, you can see that organizations have the same characteristics as organisms. And there are a lot of dinosaur organizations in our world today. And I think the Microsofts and the Facebooks are also one of them. And I think that if they don't deliver what people really want, eventually they can grow very fast, but also they can shrink very fast and they can disappear as fast as they have come up. So I think it's much more difficult in today's time to stay in power. It's easy to get power, but to stay in power, you have to deliver some kind of quality or service. If you don't do that, people switch very easily to another platform. And we have seen this with WhatsApp, for example. People switch to Telegram, which is more secure and encrypted, etc. And we will see more and more of these alternative platforms where people can switch towards Zoom. So I think the big companies like Facebook will have a tougher time in the next 10 years to maintain their customers, because there will be better alternatives which are more taking care of our privacy, which are more secure, etc. And it's happening on almost in every industry right now.
That's really interesting. How are companies going to manage advertising then? Because what we've seen with Facebook, which started out to appeal to people who are in post-secondary education as an alternative to something like the MySpace, which became quickly an advertising platform. And now Facebook has pretty much become the same thing. So what's going to happen with that? What is advertising going to become irrelevant, or how will it be delivered in the future? Because now it requires that it knows specific information about the individual in order to deliver individualized advertising. So there's kind of a dichotomy there. If we don't let it know what we want, it's going to bomb us with a whole bunch of stuff that is irrelevant. But if we give up our privacy so that it knows, we'll get more of the stuff we want. How are we going to manage that balance?
Well, I think advertisement will stay here in the future. And I think it will be different. Today, companies like Facebook and Google earn a lot of money by selling you ads. But what if you are your own entity and you say, okay, I want to buy a new car, and I'm in the next 30 days, I'm open to information about new cars. And you can invite organizations that sell cars or build cars to provide you that information, which is highly relevant. And by doing so, you earn money. And this money today is going to the Facebooks and the Google. They make billions with it. But then that money is returning to you. And it's more relevant because you are the one in charge. And you say, okay, I want information about this or that. So I think that we will retake control about which information is reaching us. And I think artificial intelligence, for example, will be a perfect firewall, like a personal assistant, which only shows you the information which is highly relevant based on your diary, based on your interests, based on your income and all these things. So I think we will evolve. And if today, if you're looking at a store for bicycles or for cars, then the next 6 or 8 months you're spammed by these companies. It's not relevant anymore.
So we've got more to come with Christian Kroma. The future, its impact, are we ready for it? Gene and Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with Reputation Defender. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with Reputation Defender. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771. For your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with Reputation Defender. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771.